Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned, number 26.
Number 26.
I can't believe it, you guys. That's, thank you for listening, and sorry about the gap last week. I had what doctors tell me was an upper respiratory infection, and it's kind of like the Bob Costas pink eye equivalent for your lungs. It was no fun.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling well, and I was pretending I was in Sochi all week, tweeting the Sochi problems, but I wasn't really. Not that you guys obviously believed it, but it was
you guys don't know. You don't know what he's doing. We could be in Russia right now, for all you know.
You don't. Yeah, our phones are getting hacked as we
speak. Coming to you live from best recording gulag at Meltdown Comics.
Yeah. We're recording to you from two broken cans of string. Sochi.
Powered by hamsters.
How about all those problems and Bob Costas' eye?
I just can't, like, I think the Olympics should be winding down by the time this airs, but, go USA. Maybe don't put stuff in Sochi next time. I heard, was the World Cup supposed to be in Sochi? Someone told me that, and immediately a billion red flags went up. Hopefully that's not the case.
Not the case.
But what is the case is we have a fantastic podcast for you today.
Yeah,
the
great
lovely
podcast.
Susanna
Hoffs.
Excuse me, you can still hear her. I'm a little sick. Susanna Hoffs is here. You know her from her solo work. You know her from her work with the Bangles.
The Bangles. I don't know if you guys remember the Bangles. I'm sure most of you do, because most of you who listen to this podcast obviously like really, really cool things.
Yeah.
And the Bangles is a really, really cool band. All-girl group from the from yesterday and from yesteryear.
Yeah, they came out yesterday.
They're still around now.
They've been around for a minute, and they're still kicking butt and taking names.
They just played a show at the Whiskey, and I missed it. I'm really bummed I missed it. But so she's here. She's got some really cool stories to talk to us about that, and we got some really cool fun facts for you.
Mm-hmm. But first, let's take a moment.
Fact.
Yeah, the fun fact is today's podcast is brought to you by T-Fury. T-Fury.com. T-Fury is your original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. You can snag their designs for t-shirts for only 24 hours beginning at midnight. So say you're missing a shirt from the past, you want to get it again. What can you do? You head to the T-Fury Gallery, where you can buy some old designs that are still in print, vote on others to come back from the dead, and more. Every 2 to 4 weeks, T-Fury adds more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the return of your favorite shirts. Now, by this point, you're probably asking yourself, what kind of topics and fandoms do they cover?
Yeah.
The answer, is all of them.
All of them.
Everything from gaming, sci-fi, anime, TV, movies, pop culture, you name it, they probably have a shirt about it.
I just got one recently. Cool,
it's so freaking cool. It's a mashup of Mickey Mouse and Cthulhu. Like, Lovecraftian horror meets the most iconic mascot in America.
That's
awesome. The best. Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like. Also, don't forget to check out the T-Fury after-hours sale. If you miss the day's shirt by only a little bit, they keep the sale going to the wee hours in the morning, so if you're a night owl, that's just for you.
It's like a last call for alcohol type of thing. You have an extra couple hours
to get it's like last call with Carson Daly, but like something you want to do.
But with cooler things.
Yeah. Sorry, Carson, if you're listening.
Hey, Carson,
I love that black power nail used to rock.
We'd love to have you on the show.
Anyway, check out tfury.com/nerdist and see what today's shirt is all about. TEEfury.com/nerdist.
Yeah, check it out. And we want to thank everybody again for listening. Thanks. We want to thank everybody for giving us reviews on iTunes and giving us comments. And please continue to keep that up. Help us keep appearing on the top 300 comedy podcasts. And just tell your friends about it. If you guys have a Twitter, please tweet our link. And let's try and spread the word and spread the knowledge. And, knowing's half the battle. And we want to thank everybody again.
Remember what those G.I. Joes taught you.
Yeah, go Joe. Oh, and just a quick plug. Go see the Lego movie. It is so good.
It is so fantastic.
Go see the
Everything
Lego
is
movie.
Awesome about that movie.
Everything is very awesome. And coming soon, we're hoping to have the writers and directors on the show. We've been working on trying to have them on for a while, but they're busy doing really cool things.
Yeah. So, just keep go your see fingers the movie. Crossed.
See the movie. It's really fun. And a lot of people are like, oh, the Lego movie. It's listen.
And if you're one of those people, shut up. Go see it.
It's like if they want, it's pretty much, they said they want to make the best, funniest movie they can, but it's made out of Legos.
These are the dudes who made Clone High, and if you don't know what that is, check it out. You will thank me later.
They made Clone High, 21 Jump Street, and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Whatever. They're not on the show today, but it's a fucking great movie, so go
seriously.
See it.
Seriously. Anyway.
Anyways.
More importantly,
here's
Today We Learned, number 26, with Susanna Hoffs.
Gentlemen, Let's broaden our minds.
Thing I'm going to mention too on the Bruce Springsteen one, it was I'm fairly certain from what I remember it was cut up like a deuce.
Wow.
And then Manfred Mann changed it to Wrapped Up.
Was Manfred Mann the original though, right?
No, Bruce Springsteen
was
the original.
No,
see, I just learned that.
Yeah.
Because it seems like Manfred Mann was way before Bruce Springsteen.
He had a hit.
He was. Like, he was like
10 years
prior to that.
Remember, I was toying with the tweet idea that I wished my name was Manfred Mann.
Can I be honest? I didn't, until I was researching this, I didn't realize it was a dude. I thought it was,
I knew
the band's called Manfred Mann.
But it wasn't even really his name.
No.
The thinking about how cool a name it is made me Wikipedia him.
Yeah.
You know?
I love Wikipedia so much. It's, I mean, it's the name of the band, but it's also, his name, his fake name.
His fake name. That's the thing.
But, I mean, that's what everybody,
But what a cool fake name.
What a cool fake name. Manfred Mann, and then that's the name of his band. And I didn't realize,
Because it's better than the Manfred Mann Band.
It is.
Yeah.
But I feel like that he kind of...
Manfred and the Manns.
Like Herman's Hermits.
Yeah.
Herman's Hermits.
Man's Manfords.
Manfred and Sons.
Cool. Well, we'll start there. Thanks for listening to.
We've learned so much already.
Knowledge has already begun.
Yeah,
it's flowing.
Buckle up, because this is one knowledge full ride.
Yeah.
This is one. This is a fun episode here coming up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Today We Learned, number 26.
Big 26.
As usual, my name is Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
And with us is the lovely Susanna Hoffs.
Thank you.
I'm
glad to be here.
We're glad to have you.
You may know her from her many albums with Matthew Sweet.
Yes.
And as one of the lead singers of the awesome rock band, The Bangles.
Thank you.
From the 80s, 90s. In 2000s.
And now,
you guys, I just seen you tweet about, it was either you or another friend of mine that tweeted that he was going to see the Bengals at the Roxy.
The Whiskey,
like a week ago.
Yeah.
And I seen it the next day, and I'm damn it, I would have loved to have gone there.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah,
that was back to where we started.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm
in
bummed
the,
I missed
and
it.
We performed in the style of, how we used to present ourselves back then, which is the new Bangles is like the old Bangles.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah, you'll come to another one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, that was awesome.
There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, they're recording the...
That beep indicates that knowledge has begun.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear a beep, learn something.
That's the test of the emergency broadcast system. Thank you for listening.
They're recording the Meltdown for Comedy Central.
Yeah, there's a chance you may hear the ghostly echoes of Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah,
but,
he's doing a song.
Pay him no mind.
Just ignore him. And, has Weird Al ever parodied one of your guys' songs? I'm surprised he hasn't.
Has he ever done one? Done his take on one? I don't think so.
Weirdo, get on that, Weirdo.
We'll have a word with him after this.
It would be the biggest compliment ever.
Yeah.
If he did.
Alrighty, Susanna. So it's the start of the show. It's the start of the episode. And as one thing we like to do at the start of every episode is have the guest either provide a cool fact about themselves or something you learned recently. There's no pressure, no rules.
So it could be something big, something small.
There's so many things.
Maybe you popped a Snapple recently.
Yeah,
learned something
in
the cap.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I haven't
learned
done something. That.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. God, there's just so many things. So that I've learned recently.
Either something you learned recently or something about yourself.
You just taught me something so recently that Manfred Mann's version of Blinded by the Light was the cover of the Springsteen version.
Yes.
I honestly did not know that.
Yeah. It's Bruce Springsteen originally, he didn't have any singles. He had an album that he was releasing, and Clive Davis, I believe, if it's Clive.
No, because he was on Columbia Records.
Was he?
Yeah.
Whoever was,
we were on the same label. The Bangles and Bruce were on the same label. In fact, here's something you're about to learn.
Okay, yeah, teach me.
Before the Bangles got signed to Columbia Records, this was back in 1982, 83, the guy at the label at Columbia, Peter Philbin was his name, was interested in us, and he brought Bruce Springsteen to see us perform at Magic Mountain.
Oh, wow.
like
that's
six
so
flags.
That's so cool.
That's
and
awesome.
And he to see, like, to vet us.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. I mean, he gave us the thumbs up.
Huh.
So I finally had a chance to see Bruce Springsteen after all these years, and
yeah.
I said, you know, I'm really grateful that you told Peter Philbin to sign us at,
yeah.
to Columbia. Anyway, so it was Columbia Records.
Okay.
You were telling your story,
yeah.
of Blinded by the Light.
Well, and the whoever was running that was like, Springsteen, you don't have any, like, singles that, I mean, because a lot of his songs back then were just, you know, just blue-collar rock songs, I guess. And they were like, you need a couple singles. So he wrote those singles, and they released them on that album, and it didn't end up, I guess they didn't catch, so then Man for Man ended up recovering it, and it became like a top 10 hit.
Oh, wow. So that so, he released it, and it wasn't,
yeah.
it didn't
yeah,
happen.
It was unsuccessful.
It wasn't a smash hit.
Yeah, it took it
wow.
for Man for Man, it was a number one hit, I believe.
Number one
right,
hit, yeah.
Right.
You win some, you lose some.
That's
yeah.
Speaking of Bruce Springsteen real quick, I never really got into him up until like the, and I mean, I'm not into him now. I can't rattle off a list of his catalog, but I've listened. Like, I never really appreciated it, and I always thought he was like overrated as the boss, because everybody's like, he's the boss, he's
well,
the best
ever.
It's
hard to have the nickname
yeah.
the boss.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and everybody thought he was like, I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Now I go back and I listen to his songs, and I'm like, oh, he's really good. And
yeah.
he'll perform for like 3.5 hours,
yeah,
4 hours in concert.
Crazy,
yeah, it's my
crazy,
folks
crazy.
Went to go see him play, I think a couple years ago, and they were expecting like 1.5 hours. He wound up playing for like 3.5
yeah.
hours, so they were like, we definitely got our money's worth.
Yeah, and I just appreciate
there.
That.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of, I guess, while we're talking about writing other people's songs, you have a cover album out, right?
Yes,
How do you go about picking the songs you cover? Like what? Who?
Well, this is the third one. Under the Covers, Volume 3 now is out. But Matthew Sweet and I wanted to work together. We've known each other a long time. And the idea of doing covers came up. And so the first set of covers were 60s covers.
Okay.
We never knew there was going to be any more than the one record until the record company said it's called Under the Covers Volume 1.
Okay.
So that was the hint. You
Did
know, like
surprise,
Volume
like,
1.
We're putting Volume 1 on there.
Yeah, yeah. So then we realized, oh, wow, we're going to keep going. And we were so obsessed with the 60s that we thought all the volumes that would follow would be 60s.
Yeah.
So how we pick them is just songs we're obsessed with, songs we love, songs... We really are like kids in a candy store, like just can't control ourselves picking which songs to do. And it's a very free form thing.
Yeah.
The weird thing about Volume 1 is that we gave each other the assignment to go home and make a list
okay.
with ideas. And we showed up with the lists and we both had the same song. And it was this really obscure song by the Left Bank. It wasn't Walk Away Renee,
okay.
which is the one everyone knows, or even Pretty Ballerina, which is like the second most famous. It was She May Call You Up Tonight, which was a really obscure one. So then we thought, oh, this is kismet. You know,
yeah.
this is amazing. So we just go wild with the list. Like on the 70s one, we recorded 40 songs because we just couldn't stop.
Yeah.
We were so obsessively into it. But halfway through, Matthew called and said, we forgot the 70s, prog rock. We have to do prog rock. It was like, wow.
Yeah,
you know,
get some
so
King Crimson up in
well,
there.
Well, we did. Yeah, we got Yes up in there.
Okay, there we go.
We got Yes up in there, and it was so good. It was so good to take that on. It was such a challenge. And then we even got Steve Howe from Yes to play guitar on that
oh,
song.
Oh, awesome.
But anyway,
really
so,
cool.
Now, am I close enough to the mic? It could be.
I can hear you. Yeah.
You'd like
I
me
hear
a
you
little
fine.
Closer. Okay.
Yeah. If you're driving, just turn up the volume.
Yeah. Or just pretend we're in a submarine.
Yeah, yeah. Now, okay. Now, so that's how you came up with those songs. I'm curious because one of my favorite Bengals songs is Hazy Shade of Wind.
Oh,
you guys did a really good
cover. That was
of
my
that.
Idea.
That was your idea.
Yeah. I was listening to the radio when I had my day job.
Okay.
I was a factory girl in Santa
no
Monica.
Okay. Yeah, because
yeah.
I was reading your Wikipedia and you're from California,
I'm
right?
I'm from LA, but I basically grew up in Santa Monica, so
okay.
I had this little job working for my aunt and uncle who had a ceramics factory, and I just was, it was a very lonely job. I was in this room by myself. There were other people doing stuff, putting things in the kilns
yeah.
and painting mm-hmm. stuff, but I was sanding like little ceramic things, and so I would just sit and listen to K-Earth 101, which was the oldies station, still plays, now they play the Bengals,
yeah.
which I think is a good. It took me a little
yeah,
bit
well,
to
I
get
mean,
comfortable
yeah.
with that. Like, really?
I feel like it is a compliment because it's music that they still want to keep playing.
Well, that is a huge compliment. But yeah, it's just so weird when you're when you're on the oldie station. But it's all good. I'm so happy about it. Yeah. But back then, I was listening to the radio, and Hazy Shade of Winter, the Simon and Garfunkel version, came on, and I was like, I had never heard that song. As much of a Simon and Garfunkel fan I was at the time, I wasn't familiar with it. I thought, this is the ultimate Bangles cover. Took it to rehearsal that night. We learned it. We played it. And then when I got a call that from the people producing Less Than Zero, that they were looking for a song, I said, we should do that one. Kind of fits. Yeah. There's something about it. Cause I don't know if you've seen the movie, but it's Less Than
Moons
Zero.
Ago.
It just yeah, it fits the vibe of the movie, and it ended up.
It's a very good version. That opening guitar riff is just so it's powerful. I love it.
Here's something you probably don't know, since we're learning today.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're learning. Rick Rubin originally produced that song.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he still talks about it, although he didn't end up being credited on it.
Okay,
it's a long story. Mm-hmm. But yes, he was, and I met George Drakoulias, who's gone on to produce and produces amazing stuff. He worked on that song, too.
Okay.
Wow. So you don't usually associate Rick Rubin and the Bangles, but we did work together on that.
Today, you will.
Today,
yeah,
you will. Rick Rubin's
learned something.
Man, he's had his hands in everything.
Exactly.
He's got a good taste.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, Rick Rubin. I used to have a beard like Rick Rubin.
You did.
I had a huge beard like Rick Rubin, and then I shaved it off. But
yeah, when I first met Razzle, he looked like... you looked like you stepped out of a cartoon. I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You looked like just a very...
And I flat ironed it, too, for some reason. I got a chi, and I would flat
What's
iron
a
it.
Chi?
Like, it's a flat iron. It's a very expensive
flat
iron for all the women listening to this.
For beards only.
You mean it's a hair appliance.
A hair appliance.
A hair straightener.
A hair straightener, yeah.
And you would do that?
I would do that because it would straight make it longer and it would flow better than just be a dirty.
He was like
beard.
A young, cool Santa.
Yeah, it was, instead of like a grimy beard, you know, all wavy and everything. It was like,
and what the girls think?
It weeded out the duds. I mean,
did they like it?
Some of them. There's a reason I shaved it.
Okay.
I feel like the crazier ones are the non duds that like beards, but it is what it is.
Okay.
Here's a fun fact to completely change the subject for myself. And this is interesting. I never realized this, but Bic pens, mm-hmm. If you've ever noticed, Bic pens have like little holes on the top of
them. Yeah, they're kind of
the
perforated.
Caps. Yeah. They have the holes in the caps of the pens so that way if they're ever inhaled, it minimizes the risk of suffocation.
Huh. So when you're chewing on your pen, you accidentally swallow the cap.
It just doesn't
you
could survive inhaling it, because the caps are pretty big.
Yeah.
But if you swallow it lengthwise...
Yeah, hopefully if it doesn't wind up getting stuck in your esophagus.
Here's something.
But do you believe that fact? Where did you get that?
I believe you got it on Wikipedia.
See?
I think, word here is minimize.
You're not going to not die.
They make ergonomic mouse pads with things for your wrist, but that doesn't mean you're not going to get carpal tunnel if you use it a lot.
When I was reading it, it's also to help prevent, it's got multiple uses. It's to prevent suffocation from children for when they're small.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
but it's also to prevent if the ink starts to leak. And you have a pen in your pocket, it won't.
It'll
shoot out better.
I'm confusing it.
It'll turn your pocket blue 50% faster.
I'm confusing my facts there. Then, yeah.
I think
you have to read Wikipedia.
To make it more aerodynamic, it looks super sweet.
Yeah.
We'll have to have on William Bick,
inventor of Bic pens.
Old man Bick.
Mr. Bick. We'll have Mr. Bick on. Later to confirm or deny that.
Well, did your homework.
Shifting gears slightly away from choking hazards and the aerodynamics of office supplies. The Oscars are right around the corner. It's everywhere you look in Los Angeles these days. It's for your consideration billboards. People trying to get the voting members of the Academy to elevate their movie to superstardom. So I looked up some cool Oscar facts. Specifically about sort of like the winningest, like who's won the most. I was curious about this.
Okay.
I was spurred because I read that out of everyone ever, Walt Disney has won the most Oscars with 22 wins.
Oh, wow.
He's been nominated a total of 59 times. He's the he has the most nominations of anyone. And the most nominations and wins in a single year. He won 4 out of 6 nominations in 1953. Hmm. And he won a record of 10 awards over 8 consecutive years from 1932 to 1939.
Oh, wow.
So
Walt Disney's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, every time you see a Disney movie or even, like, a Pixar movie now, you pretty much know it's going to get
and
something.
Coincidentally, the new Disney movie Frozen is nominated for some awards.
Yeah.
And people
best animated feature, best song.
And it's a coincidence because people think Walt Disney is frozen.
Oh, yeah, cryogenically frozen. Yeah. Along with Ted Williams and the other members of the Illuminati.
Such a stretch, man. Yeah. Stupid joke. I will go the distance to make dumb jokes on here.
That's why I love
no
you.
I have no qualms. Here's a fact, an interesting fact. Susanna, you were mentioning that you worked in a factory for your aunt and uncles.
Right, right.
Henry Ford, here's a fun fact about the 8-hour work week. Henry Ford, obviously everybody knows who Henry Ford is. He reduced the workday to 8 hours so he could add a third shift.
Clever girl.
8 hours, 8 hours of
a work,
a work time block.
Yep,
there we go.
8-hour workday. Yeah. He reduced them. They used to be longer than that, but after the success of the moving assembly line, Henry Ford had another transformative idea. In January of 1914, he wanted to announce that the pay for a day would be $5 a day, which was an increase that was unheard of at the time. And it would be increased by a shorter workday. Instead of working 9 hours, you would work 8 hours. So that way he could add on a third shift to the day and get more accomplished and get more stuff worked.
Makes sense. That way you get 24 hours a day of shifts.
Yeah, so thank Henry Ford for not needing to work 9 hours a day.
Yeah. Thanks, Henry. Thanks, Hank. Well, back to the Oscars. I have plenty more facts.
I wanted to say that I was happy to see All About Eve on there.
Yes,
that's one of the greatest scripts ever.
Absolutely.
So smart.
Tell us about it. I've never heard it. I don't know what All About Eve is.
Oh, it's Betty Davis. It's a sort of understudy and star story, but it's like it's a very smart women in it.
Okay.
And it's really amazing. The script is, it's one of the greatest scripts ever written. You should go check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
And just to back that up, it's tied with Titanic for the most nominations by a single film with 14.
Right on that.
14, was nominated.
14, 1 year, it got 14 nominations. The only film to get that many nominations apart from All About Eve was Titanic.
Really?
Yeah.
So those are the two movies that have gotten the most nominations.
Most nominations. Let's just run down some of these really quick.
Absolutely.
Katharine Hepburn is, I believe, the winningest actor or actress ever. She has four Oscars, all for Best Actress. Daniel Day-Lewis has 3 Best Actor awards, so he has the most among actors.
Okay.
The shortest performance to win an Oscar was Beatrice Straight in Network, 5 minutes and 2 seconds of screen time.
Really?
She got a Best Supporting Actress award for that. And Anthony Hopkins has the shortest time for a Best Actor award with 16 minutes in Silence of the Lambs. Like, you know, you think about Silence of the Lambs, everyone immediately thinks about Hannibal Lecter, but he's only on screen for 16 minutes,
amazing.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
You wouldn't think that.
Meryl Streep has been nominated record 18 times, and Jack Nicholson's been nominated 12 times. John Ford has won 4 Best Directing Awards, and the most awards for a single film is a 3-way tie between Ben-Hur, Titanic, and The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Wow.
But they won 11 awards. So out of
11 each. Sorry, that was a...
So out of the 14 times Titanic was nominated, it won 11 of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the most... this one bummed me out because I loved this guy. The most nominations for an actor without a win was Peter O'Toole with 8 nominations and 0 wins.
He was so good.
And he was fantastic.
Love
he was
Peter
really
O'Toole.
Bummed me out when he passed.
He was he was very talented.
Yeah, they just showed Lawrence of Arabia at the Egyptian last week on 70mm. Or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he was good. Speaking of movies, let's talk about a movie called Where the Boys Are. It was a movie that came out in 1960, which was based off of a book of the same name. And Where the Boys Are was essentially it was a book written by Glendon Swarthart's novel based on college girls going to Fort Lauderdale for spring break. And that movie, it's February, spring break amongst college campuses is coming up, starting to come up. And that book with the coincided movie revolutionized spring break for the United States. Fort Lauderdale was just inundated, if that's the right use of the word, with college students after that book and movie came out. They were getting hundreds of thousands of college kids coming down there to just party and have fun, that they had to pass laws to prevent, you know, that would deter students from wanting to come and bring their tourist dollars.
And that's the modern spring break. This novel came out, what,
1958?
And looking to see in the notes here that apparently Fort Lauderdale's had a sort of a reputation as a spring break type destination all the way back to 1934 when the Colgate University men's swim team went to practice there over the Christmas break. So,
yeah.
I didn't realize they were. Yeah, I don't think. When I think about spring break, it's hard to imagine like the kind of beer guzzling shenanigans dating all the way back to like the mid 30s.
Well, just listen to some of these numbers. In 19, approximately 20,000 college kids would go to the Fort Lauderdale in the 1950s. It was spring break then was just known as spring vacation.
It was a simpler time.
But then once Glendon Swarthout's novel, Where the Boys Are, came out, and then once the movie came out in 1960, the number of visiting college students immediately jumped from over 50,000 to the early 80s when Fort Lauderdale was attracting 250,000 to 350,000 college students.
That's when I was there.
Year. Now, were you there for spring break, or were you there performing?
We were performing. Oh, yeah, no. You kind of don't need to go there if you're from California.
Yeah,
we have spring break all year round.
Yeah, all year round.
But no, we would do shows there. We would be tied in with all the craziness going on. And then one time we were there at spring break when they were having a motorcycle, like a biker convention,
rally
or something. That just compounded the insanity of what was going on there. Yeah.
I can't imagine what the town must have looked like when the week was over and like a tumbleweed of beer cans just blowing through the streets.
It's weird when you're in a band. You do a lot of you see a lot of odd things.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, you it's not just performing your own shows, but you're sort of open for the fireworks on 4th of July, or you're tied in with other festivals and things going on. So it is kind of a bizarre thing that it is. And if we coincided with the height of the 80s spring break madness, then
that's awesome.
But I guess I'm glad I had that experience.
Something that I used to do a lot of concert booking when I was in college. And something that always cracked me up were the band's writer requests. Did you guys have any crazy writer requests?
Somebody just recently asked me about that. We always had kind of a boring writer, and we felt guilty about it. We didn't trash dressing rooms. A few times in the early days, we actually thought like maybe we should, and we would sort of knock a bowl of regular M&Ms with every color that they normally come with, none weeded out, you know, to make it proper for the writer. No, we never really had anything exciting.
Did you ever try to slip anything in there just to see if you could get away with it?
Not really.
It's okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. I'm just curious.
But we did encounter other writers that were just mind-blowing. Like when we were doing festivals in Europe in the 80s, we would be on the circuit, and you'd always end up playing two or three of them with another band and getting to know them. So we got to know INXS during that time. And, you know, we had our normal, what I like to call your standard Spinal Tap kind of deli tray stuff. Nothing to write home about. And they had, you know, all these hot plates with exotic noodles and a whole, you know, collection of really exotic wines and stuff.
Did they have Vegemite on there?
They didn't have Vegemite. No,
surprised.
But they had hot food, which was like a big revelation.
Yeah.
You know, when it's a big step up from a standard deli plate.
Yeah, they had they had four cases of blank poster board that they could write words on.
Did they?
What is that? They had that one video where it was just Hutchins just standing still, like flipping.
Doing the sort of doing the kind of the riff on the Dylan thing. Yeah.
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 That's awesome. Do you remember any venues that in Fort Lauderdale? Do you remember what was it? Just like outdoor, like
well, we kind of worked
shows,
our way
it?
Up the spring break ladder in terms of like we started out. We actually were part of like a wet T-shirt contest,
oh, wow.
Not us.
Yeah.
But like when you're
we
a
were
young
refereeing.
Band, no,
yeah.
No. When you're a young band, you know you play really crappy clubs, and
yeah.
You just play wherever you can get a mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
And I met Jeff Garland not too long ago.
Okay.
He remembers he was on the circuit too doing comedy.
Oh wow.
And we met at one of those shows in
yeah.
Fort Lauderdale. He was on the circuit, the comedy circuit, and the
okay.
Bengals were on the club circuit. But we worked our way up to like the Hawaiian Tropic stage of the, you know.
Yeah.
Then they had the sponsored festival shows playing for much bigger crowds.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we started in the clubs.
That's really cool. I was in a band about a decade ago in the early 2000s in Michigan, and we played some big radio festivals.
Ah, cool.
It was, we were, you know, it was, we were.
Do you know Tally Hall, the band Tally Hall? They're from Michigan.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I've heard.
We met at University of Michigan.
Okay. Yeah. They, Ann Arbor's got a really cool.
Yeah.
Music scene. They got a club called the Blind Pig.
Ooh.
Over there in Ann Arbor, and it's a really cool rock venue. I mean, it's a small.
What do you play?
I play guitar. Well,
cool.
I used to play guitar.
How do you? But you can't used to play guitar. When it's like riding a bike, right? Once you know.
Yeah, but I was more. I mean, I'm a power chorder. It was like a pop rock band. I'm more of an entertainer versus a musician. To where, you know, I can play the chords, the power chords, and write catchy melodies. But I'm not, you know, I'm not as talented as you are, and you know, most people who pick up a guitar.
I think you're selling yourself
yeah.
short.
Yeah. Who knows? My brother could vouch
There's
for me.
There's nothing wrong with a power chord.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
I used to play trumpet.
You used to play trumpet. My dad plays
And that one, I'm not sure if I could still do it because your embouchure, if you don't keep that up, it's really hard to get back. I remember even after I got my braces off, I had to totally relearn how to play.
Wow.
So that one is not quite as bicycle-esque.
Yes.
Yeah. That's let me ask you this, because we got a car fact coming up. What kind of car did you drive here today? Do you have one of those earth-friendly vehicles? Or
I have a hybrid.
You have a hybrid.
I'm happy
okay.
to say I have a hybrid.
What hybrid do you have?
I have a Lexus hybrid.
Okay. My brother has a Nissan Leaf. And
ooh.
I just say
cool.
that because I mentioned my brother a lot on the show, but I didn't realize this, and I don't know if he knows this or not, so it's always fun when I can try and teach my brother something because he listens to this. The Nissan Leaf is actually called that. It's a backronym, which is
backronym.
A word that you try and find a meaning for.
Yeah, it's basically you take an acronym that you want and then like sort of construct the meaning out of that. So
yes.
In this case,
okay,
LEAF.
Okay, so LEAF.
LEAF stands
explain.
For Leading Environmentally Friendly Affordable Family Car.
You know, that L-E-A-F. Common phrase.
Yeah. So the Nissan LEAF is the Leading, E-L, Environmentally Friendly, E, Affordable, A, Family Car, F. So they contrived that.
I just think LEAF is like
yeah,
green.
Well, I think
it's in green.
I think they were enjoying that symmetry as
yeah,
well.
Like, yeah, the poetry of it.
Yeah,
yeah, and so that I found that interesting. And then I didn't know what a backronym was. So then I was looking up that, and backronym is the phrase specifically constructed so that the acronym fits the existing word. Then which led me to when you're,
you want
to
create some
when
right.
You're, when you're surfing Wikipedia and you're just clicking the blue links, it came across Arby's, the
mm-hmm.
restaurant Arby's, is a phonetic backronym for RB, which refers to the company's founders, the Raphael brothers. So Arby's.
As well as roast beef.
Roast beef,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was neat. I always thought Arby's, like you think of these company names and you wonder where they come up with these names for, but Arby's is just, that's how, when you say RB.
Right.
In the 1980s as well, they had a slogan.
What was
the backronym slogan? It was America's Roast Beef. Yes, sir, Arby's.
Wow.
So stupid.
I haven't thought about Arby's until today.
There's no real reason to unless you were trying to make a joke about Pharrell's hat on Twitter after the Grammys.
Oh.
I think there's one Arby in Los Angeles, I think, in Hollywood, I think.
Yeah, there's
There's only one. It's not
Come see the wonderful Arby's of Hollywood. this one I was curious about because for a long time I'd heard that golf, you know, the popular sport, I'd heard that it was a acronym standing for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden, because traditionally it was a sport played by gentlemen and they were sort of exclusive with their country clubs and whatnot. That is actually false. That is not true.
Yeah,
so.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that's just been, like, circulating for years thanks to the internet and just the widespread availability of misinformation. More likely, it's a derivative of the Dutch word kolf, a generic term for stick, club, or mallet used in a number of sports like croquet or polo.
Huh.
Or it's derived from the Scottish word gof, G-O-U-L-F, a verb meaning to strike or cuff. So something to think about next time you're hitting a bucket of balls.
Here's a fun fact about golf is it hasn't been an Olympic sport since 1904, but it will return in 2016.
Why? What happened?
They just didn't think it was a sport.
They didn't deem it that it was qualified as a sport?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, let's just get...
It was too boring to watch.
I was wondering about this, Suzanne. I was reading reading up on your Wikipedia and the Bengals, and I read one of your number ones, I believe, Eternal Flame.
Yes.
You were, when that came out, and that was, I believe, your second number one hit or your third number one hit?
It was our second number one
you
hit.
Became that made you guys with I believe the Pointer, it was either the Shirelles as far as girl groups with the most number one hits.
Kidding.
And when that came out, and I was also reading that was written because you went to Graceland.
Yeah
Tell us that story, because that's
another thing bands do, because when you have a day off you try to use it wisely and do something fun. So we were in Tennessee, and we decided to go and do a tour of Graceland, which we got the special tour that they give to bands. So they give you, like, your own private tour with a guy, and it's really fun because you can just break in and ask a million questions. And so we did. I mean, I remember he took us to the trophy room, and he said, and here's Elvis's black belt. And I just turned to him, and I said, was he really a black belt? And he said, no, but they gave it to him because it was Elvis. So
honorary
like,
black belt.
And I don't know if that's true. He probably was a black belt. But, it was like a really interesting tour. We got to go on the jet, the Lisa Marie.
Oh, wow.
And then we did, you know, we went out to where the Eternal Flame was. But that day it was raining.
Okay.
And it was just like basically a plexiglass box where a flame would have been lit, but it was just off with rainwater in it. So it really wasn't on, so it didn't really qualify as an eternal flame, but it still sparked the idea for the song. We did the Bangles, we just decided to sing Heartbreak Hotel like they did in Spinal Tap anyway. Yeah. It led to me telling that story to my writing partner, Billy Steinberg, when I got home from that tour, and we wrote the lyrics for it that day.
Awesome.
That's awesome. That's a really good song. Fun fact about Graceland is it is ranked up there just under the White House as one of the most visited homes in the United States.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's a really interesting tour, actually. You get to see the TV room and the jungle room, which I thought was interesting. Fun fact that he furnished it in 1 hour by going to a furniture store in downtown Memphis, I guess. It's in Memphis. And he just picked everything in an hour. I just thought that was an interesting
fun fact. Yeah, it's like, I'll take this,
they had all sorts of details. Like, there was a hallway with those kind of very 70s mirrors that have kind of veins going through it.
Okay.
And said, Elvis mirrored this hallway back in whatever, in the 70s. It was a popular design trick at the time to make an area look larger. I don't know why that stuck with me. I just thought that the little canned things that they said on the tour were really
fun
scripted things.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you could shop at the gift store where they had the Love Me Tender air conditioner and that kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm still hung up because I want to see, like, the Elvis Secret Karate Master movie. Like, how does that never come out?
I don't know, but it would be cool, right?
Elvis is black belt. I can't believe
that. I feel like an Elvis black belt is like when, like, celebrities get, like, a doctorate or something for not even going to college.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he took his karate really seriously, and I don't even know if I feel bad saying it. Maybe he deserved it. He probably did. For effort, for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a black belt for effort. It's worth a try, but
split the board in two.
Seriously.
But.
Yeah.
He was very into it.
He wanted a black scarf, but they're like, we don't have those. Yeah. You'll keep giving them out. Another fun fact about Graceland is there was a Jerry Lee Lewis was arrested because he was parked outside of it with a gun at one point.
Really?
Yeah,
was he doing there? What was the whole deal?
He was a nut. Jerry Lee Lewis was a nut. I don't know all the facts for that, but I was reading up on Graceland, and Jerry Lee Lewis was...
Was arrested?
Yeah, he was arrested outside of Graceland.
Wow.
Because he's a nut. I mean, he was a brilliant nut, but...
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. That's cool.
So if you're listening and you're thinking about parking outside Graceland with a gun, don't. You will get arrested.
The airplane, this Lisa Marie taking care of business in a flash. It had that was one of his slogans.
Yeah, TCB.
Yeah. And they had gold plated, I remember it was either gold plated sinks and the seat belts. And there was a bed. The stateroom or the, yeah. There was a
on this plane.
On the plane, yeah.
That's awesome.
I hope I don't even know if my memory is working at all, but these things are all coming back to me right now, so I'm gonna trust it.
I would believe pretty much anything you told me about Graceland.
Really? Absolutely. Like, I've never been, so
all of this sounds within the realm of possibility.
I'm telling you, everything's flooding back about the Bengals tour of Graceland.
There was a secret passage with
and the alligators
at the bottom.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that.
Water slides in every room is crazy.
Yeah, I've never been. Did you get to see he had a pink limo, right? Was that there, or a pink Cadillac?
I think so. I think so. I do remember the plane. I'm not remembering the Cadillac so much, but...
Where, if you had to think about it, where would be, like, what... As a... Because I heard an interview with Slash from Guns N' Roses, and he would go on tours. He would go.
I know who Slash is.
He would go to, like, dinosaur museums. He would...
Slash.
Well, for the listeners...
no, I know.
Saul Hudson.
Giving you a hard time.
Saul Hudson, for those of you... Yeah,
I'm still feeling bad that I made you embarrassed about the
I don't get embarrassed.
The
no worries.
And the beer
I wasn't embarrassed at all.
No worries.
Don't feel bad.
Okay.
I mean, I'm 32 years old who goes by the name Razzle. I can't feel bad about a beer.
Well, my friend here is named Brazzle.
Yeah, Brazzle.
Brazzle's here. He's being very quiet.
He's being very quiet. I like his name.
You guys do your thing.
He's from Tennessee, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've probably never been to Graceland.
Do you have a fact?
I've never been to Graceland.
That's bizarre.
None of my friends have either. They all go to Graceland 2, which is in Mississippi, like 20 minutes away. It's a guy who's obsessed with Elvis, and you can visit his house 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Graceland, and it's called Graceland 2?
Insane person, yeah. They tried to make a documentary about him, and he wouldn't sign any waivers. And
really? So he loves sequels.
Names his kid Elvis.
Do you know the name of the documentary? Because it might be on YouTube if there's any nerds on it.
They wanted to make a documentary about him, and he refused to sign any waivers.
After this podcast, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think we're promoting this
concept. We're pushing him into the limelight.
Yeah. We're going to start a Kickstarter and get that funded. Graceland. Paul Simon had a song about Graceland.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
a very good tune.
That's about him taking his kid to Graceland.
Yeah.
Harper.
Yeah.
Twitter friend. Just saying. Okay, back to Slash.
Well, what I was
going to say. Of Guns N' Roses.
He was on the, I think it was on the Nerdist podcast, and he was talking about how when Guns N' Roses would go on tour and they had a day off, he would go and find a dinosaur museum. Was there, because he's a huge dinosaur fan. When the Bengals went on tour.
I sort of went to an image of what they would do on a day off that was totally different from that. But, you know, so dinosaur museum.
You would go
cool.
Antique.
So what I guess I was getting at is like when the Bengals went on tour, did you have anything you wanted to do in each town, or did you have like a thing you like to do, or
it's like grab a photos guide or something?
Yeah, or did you collect anything from your tours,
just
or
kind of
like,
play it by ear?
Kind of played it by ear. It was different during the different periods of the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
like in the early days, oh gosh, when we were opening for Cyndi Lauper and the English Beat, I think we were just trying to survive. I don't remember. We like to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, but kind of clean fun. You know, I mean, we were, I don't remember if there was a specific thing like going to dinosaur museums.
Yeah. You just go out. Yeah. That's really cool. What would you say would be your favorite city you've been to?
Oh gosh, so many amazing cities all over the world. I mean, everywhere from say Sydney, Australia to Paris, France to London, England, to Amsterdam. Oh, so many places.
Yeah.
I mean, too many to name. Japan. We've done multiple tours. Some of them were promo tours, but been able... I mean, that is the fun thing. I got to travel and do get to travel so much for my work, and that it's... I really have... That's been a great opportunity, I have to say.
That's awesome. It's really cool. I've never been to Japan.
I'm going in March.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
exciting.
Yeah.
I want to get to Japan. My friends have been to Japan, and they say it's like the future.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to eat like a king. It's going to be the best.
The Japanese food that you get there is very different than what you're used to in L.A.
What people expect, I mean, here in L.A., you even have a much greater variety than what I had back growing up in the Boston area.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, mostly in Los Angeles, you're going to find a lot of sushi places. You'll find some good ramen places. But
they're sort of like the kind of foodie Japanese food here, like the miso marinated cod,
exactly.
And the spicy tuna and crispy rice, and the things that you start to associate, and it's at least from the last time I was there, which was in 2010, it's very different.
Oh yeah, some of the best is just getting like good Japanese street food. Like in Osaka, you get takoyaki, which are just fried octopus, like balls of fried octopus, and they're, it sounds kind of weird if you're not used to that food, but it's so freaking good. It's the kind of like. Yeah. If you like late night mozzarella sticks or something like that,
that would be the equivalent.
You still go in, harden the paint on these as well. Like, this is your late night munchie fuel. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think we're approaching our end time, I believe. We like to end with promoting anything you got coming up, or what do you have? I know you got you recently did it Under the Covers. Three
that came out in the fall, in November.
Okay.
And so I have shows coming up. I mean, the Bangles show just happened at the Whiskey last month, but I have this. I was asked as a solo artist to do Stagecoach.
Oh, wow.
Which is this big country music / Americana festival that just sort of takes the space where right after Coachella leaves.
Like
it's the weekend after Coachella.
So you're going to be performing there.
I didn't know what it was. Asked me, I was like, I didn't know. But yeah, I'm going to be performing.
I've never been to Coachella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, awesome. Brazel plays guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really cool.
And we write songs and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I've never been to Coachella or Stagecoach, but a lot of girls I know rave about Stagecoach. It's like a country music Coachella.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, it's like, it's sells out within hours. It's a huge, huge festival.
That's
exciting.
Psyched.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of interesting people are going to be there. Mike Nesmith from the Monkees, but he wrote all these cool songs in the 60s. And
Nesmith, is his mom the one who invented White Out?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And Loretta Lynn, Brenda Lee, loads of people.
Oh, wow.
It's just
going to
be amazing,
lineup.
Really fun.
And that's, when is that?
That's April 27th, I think.
Okay.
Sunday, April 27th. I hope I have that right. Yeah, Stagecoach is just the one weekend.
The one weekend, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. And then you got your Under the Covers 3 came out.
Yeah, and I had a solo record called Someday that was out the year before, and the year before that I had a new Bangles record. I've had...
Yeah.
Records out 3 years
busy.
In a row. I've been busy, but in a good kind of busy.
Yeah.
Good kind
That's
of busy.
That's awesome.
So where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter, and because I'm kind of came late to Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm there now, and I'm really enjoying it.
Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, at Susanna Hoffs, just my name.
Just her name.
And then I have a website also. Susanna Hoffs, www.
Awesome. Nice.
And then I have a Facebook page, but you can find me at all those usual, just my name,
cool.
And then follow it, I guess.
Awesome. So if you've taken anything from this, follow Susanna Hoffs on Twitter.
Yeah.
And go see her at Stagecoach.
Yes.
If you can still get tickets.
Skip Coachella.
Skip Coachella.
Go to Stagecoach.
I think they're still on sale right now.
Yeah, cool.
If it's not sold out, go
and
see.
Oh.
Even if it is sold out, there's Craigslist. You can find tickets anywhere if you
want
hard enough. You just got to want it bad enough.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing some more solo shows that are kind of fun variety salon style where some of my friends who do comedy / music will come and do a...
Cool.
It'll be kind of like you won't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I'm working on that right now, and I'm going to try to do that every couple months, too.
Oh, wow.
And every show will be different.
That's
fun. You'll never know who's going to show up. Whoever's
exciting.
Available. And
yeah.
It'll just be a jam and kind of...
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Looking forward to putting those on. The first one will be probably in the next couple months.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know.
So follow Susanna so you don't miss out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of cool stuff coming up.
I mean, like, at the last Bangles show, my friend Fred Armisen played drums on this song Going Down to Liverpool.
Okay.
That's an example of the kind of, you know, what happened at that show, but... It's just fun when that happens.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Unexpected special guest.
I just read that he's going to be the new late night
bandleader.
Yeah.
I know.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Really fun. I'm really bummed I missed it. I wish I would have known.
Very
talented. I wish I would have known about that
musician.
Show. That would have been a fun show to go to. Cool. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle, and the number two, at my name is Razzle2.
And I am at Osteoferocious. And if you'd like to follow the podcast, we are at TWL Podcast. You can email us at twlpodcast@gmail.com and find us on Facebook. Today we learned with Razzle and Dan.
Absolutely. Or you can shoot us an email, twlpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, I told him.
Oh, did you?
I told him. just black me out. So, come on, man.
Just in case you were not paying attention,
so
like
you
myself.
Call that giving out our email address?
Awesome. And I want to thank everybody again for listening. I want to thank Susanna for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Razzle for hanging
very
out.
Fun.
And,
and
Aristotle, yeah, as course. Always. Aristotle is quiet.
He's got the best name.
Sometimes
of all
he does. I'm very jealous.
Quite and thoughtful, probably.
Yeah, he tends to be quiet. Sometimes he'll chime in with really cool information and corrections.
Do you have siblings with cool names?
Aurora Borealis.
Wow. I'm glad I asked.
Is that really?
See?
And Joan Baez.
No. Huh. Your parents had a whole, like, heroes theme.
Hold on. Your mom's name is Joan Baez?
Yeah. Not the Joan Baez.
Not the Joan
Baez. Cool things.
Her name is A. Joan Baez.
A. Joan Baez.
Wow.
And your sister's name is Aurora Borealis. Yeah.
They like, awesome. Found cool things or yeah. heroes yeah. or just, they were,
man,
like, reaching
cool.
for, like, inspiration
that's
there.
That's sure better than Eric. That's my real name, so it's that's why.
What's
I
wrong
it.
With that?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's no Aurora Borealis.
Well, yeah, that's I'll
not,
say
it's not the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
Cool. So thanks again for coming. Thanks. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week. And as usual,
don't forget to bring a towel. I don't know. I'm on the spot.
What is that? Wasn't that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to bring a towel. Cool. Alrighty. Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.